Praise the Lord. We come to outline number 8 tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to declare 2 verses to you. And if you have memorized them or you know them, please join me in declaring these wonderful verses, okay? John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Verse 36. If therefore the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. The truth sets you free. The Son sets you free. The truth, who is the truth? The truth is a wonderful person. Is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so happy to be at the summer school of the truth. Amen. The summer school of the Son. Amen. Because the truth is a person. Amen. Amen. We should never forget that truth pursuit is God pursuit. Amen. It's pursuing a person, right? We're not here just trying to get a good grasp of some verses, right? Even though that's good, right? Pick up the facts. This is the age to pick up the facts. It's good. We want to go beyond and we want to touch the person. There's a person to be experienced beyond the points on the outline, beyond the black and white letters in the Bible, right? So hallelujah, the truth is a person.
Amen.
Amen. So I want someone to declare to us the overarching subject of the truth. Who can, without looking, stand up, a young person, and just declare not the title of this message, but the over, Nate, I'm looking at you, bro. You're looking at me. Someone can declare the title of this Summer School of Truth. Standing up, stand up. Okay, and thank you, Richard.
The triune God and the person and work of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Now, one more time without looking, brother.
The triune God and the person of Christ.
Amen. Better the second time, huh? See, repetition is good. It's good to repeat things. Good. So for a few messages now, we've been on the second half of this title, right? We've been on the person and work of Christ. And praise the Lord for the person of Christ. Oh, man, every message has been a feast to me. Wow, Christ was God, man, Savior, the Spirit. What a person. We need eternity to know this person, right? And then we saw his work. Praise the Lord for his incarnation. Yeah. The greatest event in human history. Praise the Lord. Yeah. We saw his human living. Hallelujah. He lived a full life of 33 and a half years. We saw his crucifixion. And all these points of his work and even his person are in this wonderful wire diagram, right? So I want someone to come up and draw the wire diagram for us. Ooh. Come on, I'm in the Northeast. Everyone is smart here, I know. Boston people, y'all are smart. So I want to, okay, you brother, you're getting it. Stand up, bro. What's your name, bro? What? Antonio, come up. Okay, my brother, don't help him. If he needs help, maybe you can phone a friend, okay? But do your best. Give us a wire diagram, okay? If you can write verses or you can, whatever you can do, but at least I want just the wire diagram. Okay. Go for it. Starting good? Oh, yeah. Do the blue. Give me that. We're all standing with you, bro. We're all standing with you. Okay, hold on. Okay, Antonio. Wonderful. Okay, can you label any of the steps?
Nope.
Okay, let's help him label. Okay, pick a friend. Pick one friend. You get one friend.
Joseph.
Joseph. Joseph. So you can tell him some answers. Okay, get up, Joseph. Is Joseph, come on. Oh, you don't know? Okay. But you've been chosen. Okay, we'll give you another choice. Pick another friend. Can it be a TA? What can it? No, has to be an 11th grader or 12th grader. Junior or senior? Okay, Jonathan. Great. He's my housemate. Okay, Jonathan, what can you label for us, brother? All right. God.
I got a little nervous.
Oh. Are you focused? Okay. CRUCIFIXION.
Wait, what? Wait. No.
Wait, no. There's no X, sorry. How do you spell crucifixion, everyone? I'm blanking out. RIFI.
You said there's an X in there, right?
Yes, XINION. You made me doubt. Okay.
What did I do?
Okay, you missed one. Okay, we're going to help him now. Okay, let's help him. That's right. Good. That's good.
Oh, living.
Amen. Go. Yes, Jonathan. Yes. Good job, Jonathan.
No. Very.
Oh, good. What are we on tonight?
Yeah.
Good job. Awesome. Ascension. And then this one you can put dispensing. Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. Amen. Thank you, brother. Now, who can put verses? No, I'm kidding. Okay. Well, but you should, though. I encourage you to learn to put the verses on this. Actually, so, okay. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Antonio. The work and the person of Christ are of tremendous importance, okay? They are just too important in the Bible to not know, okay? And to, we can see the work and the person of Christ in this diagram, right? You can see that Christ was both God and man, right? So we have God, became a man. So you have part of his person. And then you have his steps, right? He had incarnation, he lived, he has human living, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. Tomorrow we're going to see ascension. So I just like to encourage you to know this, okay? If you can pick this up, and if you can, like we Shepherd told us today, the best way to learn is to teach, right? Teaching. So if you can teach a friend this, wow, good job, right? So yes, yeah, so it's a high gospel. This is the high gospel. If you can pick this up and pick up the verses, you have the best gospel message. So praise the Lord for the wire diagram. Amen. So now we come to this point right here, resurrection. And yes, this morning we saw crucifixion, right? So we were here this morning. Our brothers spoke to us about crucifixion. And were you touched about crucifixion? Amen. Amen. I was in a fresh way. I don't think I had ever seen that the Lord's suffering on the cross had a hidden and unseen side, right? His heart melted and he, what was it? Eli, lama sabachthani, right? Eli, lama sabachthani. Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? If you just consider that phrase a little bit, you just, Lord Jesus, you just realize the suffering he had, you know, beyond, I mean, it was bad enough, the physical suffering, but beyond that, to be forsaken by his Father. What a price, right? The highest price was paid for our sins, right? So crucifixion is the payment, right? The Lord paid the highest price for us to redeem us, right? That was the act of redemption. And tonight, we're going to move on from the payment, and now we're going to see the proof of payment, okay? Praise the Lord, there's a proof of payment.
Amen.
Okay, resurrection. Okay, so now we can read Roman numeral 1. How about we all together read Roman numeral 1? 1, 2, 3, go. Amen. I want you to circle or underline or highlight the words God's approval and God vindicated. Okay, God vindicated. God's approval. So the Lord was God and he was man, right? We need to be very clear about this, right? To get the job of redeemer, you can't just be man. You have to be both God and man. And you can't just be God because you need to have blood. So you need to be God and man. So he was the right, only one who could accomplish redemption. And so on his side as a man, he had to be raised by God, right? So as God, he could, of course, his life is the resurrection life. Nothing can hold him, right? And we'll read the verses. We'll read the verse that in Acts later on, that the pangs of death could not hold him. But as a man, God had to approve the work that he did. Right? Remember, as a man, he was despised. He was mocked, ridiculed. He was called things. So there had to be some vindication of his work. God had to approve that what this man said and what this man did, I approve it, right? I approve it. So this is resurrection. And I'm going to read to you Acts 2:32. This Jesus, hallelujah, for this Jesus, God has raised up. Praise the Lord. This Jesus, God has raised up. You know, it's a big thing that God the Father raised up Jesus, right? And so I told you that this is a proof of payment. And now I'd like to give you an example of how this is a proof of payment. Have any of you been shopping recently? Like last week, did anyone go shopping last week? Okay. What'd you buy, David? What'd you buy? Goalkeeper gloves. All right. Yeah, you're a good soccer player. Okay. Do you shop on your own or do you go with your parents? Oh, okay. So we're going to pretend we're David last week. Okay. So we're at the sports store. Okay. And we're picking up soccer gloves and we're picking up, let's say you bought some cleats. Okay. He got some cleats. Let's get him some socks and he got some shorts. Okay. And now David is coming with his car full of goodies. Okay. And then he runs out the store. No, I'm kidding. No, he's a good guy. He goes to pay. Just kidding, David. You would never do that. He goes to the cashier. And the cashier, so, you know, he puts his bag there. And then the cashier starts item by item, right? Beep, you know, beep. And, you know, all the items. And so then what happens, David? You pay. I'm going to assume you pay with a card. Do you have a credit card? Okay. Wow, he has a credit card. Okay. So David gets out his credit card, and I've been there. You know, we've all been there. We the moment to swipe the card or put the chip in. You know, I used to, when I was in college, I lived in a brother's house, and twice a year, we would receive, there's right for hospitality, where we would do these huge Costco runs. They would run us up almost $1,000. We were feeding 20 to 20, about 20, 20 people for a week. So yeah, we would go with the, you know, not just the carts, but the flatbeds. We fill up a full flatbed. And I remember going, of course we would get reimbursed, but I remember, you know, the cashier goes, okay, sir, you know, your total is 984.75. And you take out the card, you're like, oh Lord, I hope I have enough, you know? I hope my line of credit is good. So, okay, back to David. So you swipe the card, right? And when you swipe the card, you know, there's sometimes there's a little bit of, you know, a few seconds of waiting, right? You don't know if those items are yours yet until the card gets approved, right? And sometimes they tell you, sorry, sir, you know, it's kind of slow today, you know? And you're like, yeah, right, you know? You're like, it's embarrassing when your card doesn't work, right? Okay, so once the card is swiped, when do you know that you don't have to take those items back on the shelf again, you know, humiliated? You know, they're yours. When do you know that, David? Or when you get a receipt, right? Yes. Yes, that's right. Sorry. Yeah, that's right. But at least for me, sorry, I don't know, but for me, when I hear the machine and it starts printing a receipt, I'm like, okay, my card went through, you know? And that receipt is, you have a receipt here just to show you. Yes, Costco, they bought us snacks. Thank you, sisters. Yeah. So this receipt is the proof not to take those items back. They're mine. They belong to me now. They're fully paid. Yeah. Right? And I can walk out with my goods. So how do you know that the payment for our sins was approved? Wow. Right? How do you know? So the Lord Jesus swiped the credit card at the cross. Right? He kind of, and then there was some waiting time. There was a couple of days where the disciples kind of got sad, right? They kind of got a little worried. They were hiding. They were waiting. You know, that's our guy. That's our king. And he just, you know, he was supposed to bring the kingdom, but, you know, they forgot, you know, but Mary remembered. Anyways. So there was some waiting time. But on the third day, what happened? Right? We're all waiting to see if the Lord's payment is going to go through. And praise the Lord. On the third day, he arose. Yeah. Hallelujah. He arose, right? And what does that mean? That means that you no longer have to live with the consciousness of your unpaid sins, right? You don't have to put those sins back on the shelves anymore. They're done. They're paid. So resurrection is God's approval of the Lord's work of redemption. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. About, tell your neighbor about the receipt. Just tell them, I want you to practice, okay? Because I think when you, okay, maybe let me go a little long and I'll ask you to practice. But I think when you teach something and when you speak something, it really gets into you, okay? So praise the Lord. We don't longer have to live with the wondering. You know, sometimes it happens to me, maybe it happens to you. Satan will come in and he'll say, hey, what about that? You know, what about that thing? That's pretty big, you know? You know, it's a pretty pricey sin. Well, all we have to do is say, shut up, Satan, right? And show him the receipt. And tell him, you know, yes, I know it was pricey. I know it was a great, but my all my sins have been paid. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to go on enjoying my Lord. Amen. I'm just going to enjoy the Lord. Amen. Because the payment was approved. So I'm going to read to you a verse now. Revelation 1, 17 through 18. This is a very encouraging verse. This is the Lord speaking. Do not fear. Amen. I am the first and the last. Amen. And the living one. Amen. And I became dead. And behold, I am living forever and ever. Amen. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Amen. So we're going to move on to the second point now. So resurrection is not just, didn't just accomplish, it's not just a proof of payment, but it's also a victory. Okay? Amen. Let's say that resurrection is a victory. Amen. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 2 together. Since he is such an ever-living one, yeah. Amen. Death had no way. Amen. I'm going to read to you Acts 2:24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, since it was not possible, hallelujah, for him to be held by it. So, amen, not possible. So the Lord's death on the cross was a tremendous, tremendous victory. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul tells us about a great enemy of God. And he actually says this is the last enemy. And you know what that is? You know, God is the most powerful thing, right? God is the most powerful one. Amen. And you know, second to God, you know what is the next most powerful thing? Huh? Death. Yes. Well, it's not a good word. It's not a good word. But it is true. So if you is the ultimate enemy of God. You know, death, no matter who you are, no matter how rich you are, how famous, how strong, at one point, death just gets you, right? We're all under the condemnation of death. Our bodies are decaying. And eventually, death comes for everyone. Except the Lord Jesus. Amen. There was one who death could not hold, right? And I just feel like these words are too precious to not read from our book, The Victory of Christ's Resurrection. Next to God, death is the most powerful thing in the universe. No one can turn death away. Right? No one. There's some people that have been resuscitated, right? Like in John 13, Lazarus, John 11. Lazarus, right? He came, but he went back. He died again afterwards. But there is one who is living forever and ever. Right? He became dead and he's living. So no one can turn death away. No one, that is, except the Lord Jesus. Amen. He is the only one who has gone into death, right? He went into Hades for 3 days. And I love this. A brother says, it's kind of funny, but he ate death McMuffin for breakfast. Wow. You can imagine the Lord, he went to the depths of Hades. You know, Hades is Sheol, right? In the Old Testament, is a place where the souls are kept. Just imagine the darkness there. I mean, I don't know what it is, but the Lord went there and he checked in and he checked right out. And what else? He took the keys. Amen. He took the keys. Amen. So now death has no more power, right? The Lord has authority over death, right? You know? So death is still around, of course, but it's under the authority of Christ. So we should never be discouraged. When we see death, when we see things happen in the world, we should realize, my Lord went to Hades and took the keys. Amen. Right? Took the keys. And this is very applicable. Let me just make an application. You know, death, of us have experienced it. Praise the Lord, we're here, we're breathing. But death has other forms too. You know, you can experience some byproducts of death. Okay? you may experience sometimes like spiritual death, you know? You may experience some depression. Maybe because of a failure, and death is just a feeling that it's not, you know, it's like you're dying, but not physically, but you're dying within, you know. So, saints, that's when we need to learn to touch the resurrected Christ. Amen. There's one whose life is a life conquering, death conquering life. It's a death subduing life, and it's a death swallowing life. I'm going to read to you Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I'm almost done, brother. I don't know. My time is. I'm almost done. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. Death has been swallowed up unto victory. And I love Paul's words. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? So whenever we're under any attack of death, whenever you're depressed, whenever you're just not feeling good because of something, you need to realize, I just need to touch my spirit, you know? That's why I really appreciate all the fellowship about helping us with our personal relationship with the Lord, because it's there. You know, it's so mysterious. Death, you know, experiencing resurrection is not like, you know, the Lord comes in and he's like, praise the Lord, you know? It could be a small, still voice, you know? But that is the resurrection life. So that's why we need to learn to touch the Lord personally. If we can learn to exercise our spirit and touch the Lord, we are touching the life that overcame death and that conquered this. So praise the Lord. May we be those who are encouraged to anytime Satan comes to accuse us, show the receipt and tell him my sins have been paid. And anytime we're under any attack of death, we need to be those who touch our spirit and touch the ever-living one and the one who has the life who conquered death. Amen. I'll give it to Brother Ken.
Amen. Hallelujah. Victory, victory. Hallelujah. Victory for the resurrection. That's good. Okay. Is everything set?
Yeah.
All right. Hallelujah. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed getting people up here, calling on people. That's great. I'm looking forward to a little bit of that. So get ready. Okay. Hallelujah for resurrection. Resurrection. Let's all say it. Resurrection. I really love that verse, you know, where in John 11. Everybody repeat after me when the Lord said, I am the resurrection. And the life. He that believeth in me. Even if he should die. Shall live. Hallelujah. He's the resurrection. I'll be impressed. Lord, you are the resurrection. You know, that to me is awesome. The verses that Pablo went over in Revelation too, I can't get enough of this one. I think we need Isaac Jim up here. Isaac, come on up, brother. Help us out here. Come on, stand up. You've got resurrection life, brother. Okay, take your mask off. First, he's going to just echo. You just share, just enjoy a little bit, and everybody just repeat after him. Just do this, okay?
I am the living wine.
I am the living.
And I became dead.
And I became dead.
And behold.
And behold.
I am living forever.
I am living forever.
Never.
What is that again? Living what?
Living forever.
No, no, no. Forever. Oh. Come on, you need a little, get your whole being into it. Okay, say, forever.
Forever.
And you have to use your hand. And ever. Do you get a feeling that the Lord said, he's living what? Forever. Is he living or what?
Yeah.
Are you living? Yeah. Amen. Okay, keep on. Amen.
Of death.
Keys.
Of death. And of the Hades.
Hey, of Hades. Okay, is that good enough? Okay, David, come on up here, brother. I just want the word to get into us. Infuse us with resurrection, David. Same verse. There you go. Use your hands if you have to. Yeah.
I am the living one.
I am the living one.
And I became dead.
And behold.
I am living forever.
Living forever. And ever.
And I have the keys of death.
And I have the keys of death. Amen. Well, you had it. Why don't you just do I am the resurrection.
I am the resurrection.
Yeah.
I am the resurrection.
Okay. Stop on that one. You have to, the I has to be so strong. Okay, go over that again.
Amen. I.
I.
Resurrection.
resurrection.
And the life. Amen. Okay, go sit down. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Okay. There's 4 points I need to cover in a short period of time. And maybe you could look at your outline and underline 4 words with each Roman numeral. And Roman numeral 3, underline the word glorification. And then in Roman numeral 4, designated. And then 5, Roman numeral 5, transfigured. And 6, make them the church or produce the church. Okay, so Ben Fame, what's the difference? Could you give an explanation of those 4 words? What is glorification? And what is designation? What is transfiguration? Who do you want to pass the ball to? You can go over it. Go ahead. You want to answer it? Or you want to pass it on to someone else? You can give it to Curtis if you want. Okay. Go ahead. Stand up. Oh, who's going to? Yeah, go ahead, Curtis.
Okay, well, glorification, right?
In a simple way.
Yeah, so just like a seed, right? There's life inside of a seed.
Yeah.
Right? But the life is concealed. So what needs to happen? The shell needs to be broken so that the life can come forth. So
yeah.
When you see the word glory, that just means the life of God being expressed.
Amen. Yeah, right? Amen.
So in the death, this resurrection, the shell is broken and life came forth. And
yeah.
And it was expressed.
Okay.
And I don't think I could do a good job of designating it.
Yeah.
I'm being very honest.
Okay. Okay, Ricky. Okay, I won't go there yet. Let's just start back over with glorification. Glory, what is we're familiar with the word glory. You know, they're the glory days. You know, Kobe Bryant had his glory days, right? Somebody knows who Kobe is, right? Anyway, he had glory days, and eventually those glory days actually started fading. You know, it's like a flower just starts fading. Next thing you know, it did fall off and died. It's over. And there are a lot of people that had glory days. In the 1970s, the Dallas Cowboys, they had glory days. But guess what? It's all faded. It's over. Who are the Dallas Cowboys? I can't even say them. Callous Dow Boys. You know. Anyway, John Jim, just think about it. If John Jim, stand up. You don't have to come up here. Just stand up. I mean, Isaac.
Amen.
Isaac Jim. I keep doing it wrong. Okay, Isaac, can you dunk a basketball? Okay, what if he could keep working on it and kept jumping every day? Eventually, he was there with all the brothers, and he got to where this, how tall are you, 5'8"? He dunked a basketball. What would we all do? Woo! Oh, that's glory. In other words, there's an adoration and a praise and exalting for something that's exceptional, that is outside the ordinary. Okay, that's good, Isaac. Keep practicing. Okay. Well, just that Curtis mentioned, I have a seed in my pocket. Okay, here's a seed. Now this seed, oops, don't drop it. Shoot out of there. Anyway, can you see it?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah.
It's a seed.
I see it. Yeah.
This is like the Lord Jesus. When he was on the earth, he just looked like a seed.
Yeah.
And in fact, what happened is they wanted, you know, he had done some marvelous things, and they wanted to make him king. And he was coming in Jerusalem. There were crowds. He had just healed Lazarus. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Now he's coming into Jerusalem. Wow, our king is here. Oh, the king, Hosanna. You know what happened? The Lord responded just a little bit after that. He said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, see, in other words, it abides, what happens to this seed if I leave it on the table? Will it ever produce anything? Will there be any glory that comes out of that seed? No, if it stays there, it abides alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, what happens to the seed? It actually, death has a way of breaking open. The outer shell breaks open, and there's a life element. Amen. There's life in a seed. Amen. Whenever you look at plants, when you look at the flowers, the trees, you know what you should see? Glory. Amen. Every one of them came from something. Oops, I lost it. Where'd it go? Came from a seed. It started with something small. You know, it's a picture of resurrection all around you. Amen. Just think about it. You look at that plant. Okay, I'll show you. Okay, what do I have here? Okay, do you realize this is actually one plant? It came from one seed. You know what kind of seed it was? Do you know what this is? It's not a pansy. What? Yes, it is a petunia. Can y'all say that? Petunia. And you know what? You know, I asked them, you know, you sure it's not a bunch of seeds? Oh, this is one seed. It produced all those flowers. And you know what glory is? Glory is when that seed fell into the ground and died. And then when it first came up, were there flowers on it? No. They're kind of like all of us. There's not much glory. Right? But eventually, look at all the beauty. The beauty of the flower is the blossoming is the glory of that seed. That seed has life to produce something glorious. That's what the Lord did when he went to the cross. He went to the cross. He died. And then in resurrection, again, let's all say resurrection. His divine life was glorified. Amen. Did he stay in the grave? Oh. Antonio, where is he? I wanted to put Antonio's name here. Antonio, hallelujah. He's where is that resurrection life? It's in us. And we're all headed to what? Glory. Well, that's what the Lord wanted. He wanted that life to be released. You know, I can't spend too much time on this because I have to go on. There's too many other points. But anyway, I think you get the picture. This is the glorification of the divine life. This is one of the aspects of resurrection. You know, Pablo covered several things. He overcame what? Death, Hades, Satan, the world. That's wonderful. He also did what? He was glorified. He was glorified in his divine life. Then, now we go on to the next one, which is designation. And in this one, I can just say a couple things. You know, when the Lord Jesus was here on the earth, you have to realize this was God come in the flesh 2,000 years ago. The maker of the universe was contained in a man, in one man, only one. And in that one, he had humanity. And what else did he have? He had divinity. And Every now and then, you'd see the divinity. He would do something here, there, the things he said. But he also had humanity. Well, when he went to the cross and died in resurrection, we know the divine life was released. But something else happened. His humanity was brought into divinity. In other words, he got that from Mary. You know, we can all use Isaac Jim. Isaac Jim, humanity. You know, a few years ago when he was not saved, he was a mess. You know, he was, I've told everybody before, in the high school meetings, we would be speaking and he would be speaking and walking around just talking back to the speakers. Isn't that right? But then he got saved. Amen. Resurrection life got into him. He has a human life. Well, that's just like the, in one sense, that's not like the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus had a human life. He had feelings. He could sympathize with people. He was tempted in all respects like us. He was a carpenter's son. They even said, who is he? Well, we know his mother and his brother. And his, you know. Well, that humanity also in resurrection was made a son of God. Amen. I know you may not understand this, but one day you'll get it, right? He was the son of God in his divinity, but his humanity in resurrection got brought into divinity. So even his humanity was divine. So that's why Stephen, when he was being stoned, he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus in the heavens on the right hand of God. How could that be? He's just you. There's a human person there. Well, that humanity with the divinity is all together divine. Amen. He saw him. There is now not just the Son of God, there's the Son of Man in the heavens. And he's completely divine, Amen. Even in his humanity. So the humanity got brought into divinity. Okay, now I've got to get to the main point. This is now the next one. Let's look at this one. Okay, another thing happened in resurrection. What is it? Transfiguration. Now, what is that one? Transfiguration. Okay. Into the life-giving spirit. You know, I just want to go through a few verses. I hope you would kind of pay attention to this. You know, in John 7, 39, and I'm sorry, 38 and 39, the Lord was there and he said, he declared, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He was in his earthly ministry. Come to me and drink. Well, what if I said that and Pablo comes to me, okay, I want to drink. Well, the word says, well, he was speaking about the spirit, but it says in that verse, the spirit was not yet because Jesus was not yet glorified. Say that, glorified. So something was going to happen in glorification, and that is the spirit would come and would be available for man to drink. Come to me and drink. Well, the spirit was not yet. So then what happens next? There's a portion in John 14. I hope you would all be familiar with this. And I just want to infuse you with this. This is John 14, 16 through 20. And this is the portion just before the Lord went to the cross. And he did something amazing. He let the disciples know beforehand what was going to happen. He let them know. Okay, what did he let them know? This is what he said. I will ask the Father. First of all, he knew he was going to go to the cross and they were going to be sad because he's leaving. And they're not going to know what happened and he's gone. Still, they'll be sad, but he says this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter. Oh, let's all say that, another comforter. So who's the first comforter? Let's all say it, the Lord Jesus. Okay, Daniel, why don't you come up here? Maybe it'd be helpful to have a visual. Okay, here's the disciples. You're the disciples. the disciples. Okay. And Jesus says, I will ask the Father. He'll give you another comforter that he may be with you forever. Okay, so who's coming? Yeah. Is it comforter, Daniel? It's okay. It's another comforter. Even, let me just add to it, the spirit of reality.
Amen.
And then if you're Daniel, the disciples, what? Come on, say it. What? Even the spirit of reality, whom the world cannot receive. Say, okay. Because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him. Do you know him? Do you know me?
I know you.
Okay, that's right. You know him. Because, guess what, Daniel? He abides with you. And guess what? And Daniel shall be in you. Let's all say that. Shall be in you. He let the disciples know ahead of time, I'm with you. I'm leaving, but I'm going to send another comforter. And yet, guess what? Who is it? It's me. It's me. I'm going to be with you. Not only, I'm not just with you. I will be in you. Okay. And then he goes on. I will not leave you as orphans. You're going to act like, you know, you and all those other disciples are going to think, oh, we're just a bunch of orphans. You need to remember what I'm telling you right now. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. You're supposed to say, I thought you said a comforter is coming.
Yeah, I thought you said something else.
Yeah. Didn't you say the spirit of reality is coming? Well, now I'm saying, I am coming to you. So put the pieces together. Who am I?
You,
say it loud.
The spirit of reality.
Amen.
The spirit of reality.
You might be getting it. Which is also what? What else? I'm going to be the another comforter, the spirit of reality, who's with you. Guess what? I'm going to be in you. Okay. Amen. And then he concludes this way. A little while, the world beholds me no longer, but you behold me, because I live, you also shall live. You shall live. In that day, you will know, Daniel, you will know, I am in my Father, and you're in me.
Wow.
And I in you.
Amen.
Now, isn't that strange?
Yeah,
that's right. That, what kind of talk was this? Okay, Daniel, go ahead, go home, shaking your head. I don't understand this. But that's what the Lord told the disciples. He basically let them know ahead of time, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you as orphan, because I'm coming to you in another form. I'm going to come to you as another comforter, the spirit of reality that will be with you forever.
Amen.
Not only with you, but will be in you. Let's all say that, in you.
In you.
Point to your neighbor and say, in you.
In you.
This is the Lord's feeling. This is the Lord's feeling. He was excited. He not only had told them ahead of time, you know, come to me and drink. And this he said concerning the spirit, which was not yet. And now he's telling them right before he goes to the cross, I'm sending another comforter. I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you. I'm coming to you. As what? Let's all say it. As what?
Spirit.
Spirit. Which brings us to 1 Corinthians 15:45, which you're all familiar with. The last Adam became what?
A
life-giving spirit. Through death and resurrection, what happened? He became a life-giving spirit. And to be transfigured means to change your form and appearance. It doesn't mean you're gone. It means you're just another form. You have a different appearance. Do you get that? Do you realize now the life-giving spirit is his new form, its consummate form, that is with us forever and ever. He's the life-giving spirit. This is what happened in resurrection. He not only was glorified from a little seed falling into the ground and dying, he was so excited that he could bring forth what? Much fruit. And here we all are. We're the product. Just look around. Do you realize that that life has been multiplying? That one seed, Jesus Christ, that life seed with the divine life has been multiplying for 2,000 years. And now we are the product. We're the produce of that life that has been multiplied. And how did that happen? It's because he became the life-giving spirit. Amen. We have to appreciate that. In became what? David, what else? He became what kind of spirit?
The spirit of reality.
Spirit of reality. What else did he refer to himself? He mentioned about himself. He says, I'm a comforter.
Amen.
Comforter. I'm sending you the spirit of reality. Amen. Anything real is in me.
Amen.
And what else? I'm a life giver.
Amen.
This is what I want to emphasize, saints. Listen, this wonderful Christ is a life giver.
Amen.
He is now within us as the spirit, and he gives life. Let's all say it. Gives life.
Gives life.
He's life giving.
Praise the Lord.
Life giving. Tell your neighbor, the Lord Jesus is the life giving spirit in you. And he gives life. He gives what?
Life.
Listen, he is awesome. This one who overcame death, Satan, Hades, the world. Listen, he's now in us in resurrection as the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
What kind of giving? Life-giving. He loves to give life. Come to me that you may have life, right? I am the resurrection and the life. Okay. Okay, going on. And then what's interesting, I just add one little thing here, and that is in resurrection, when he changed his form, this is really intriguing, and I don't want to be too much here, but when he changed his form as the life-giving spirit, you know, he appeared to Mary, and Mary was there desperate to see him, and she thought he was the gardener. But then when he just mentioned her name and said, Mary, she recognized, it's him. It's him. And I think she wanted to hug him or something. You know, he says, don't touch me. I've got to ascend to my Father. And it was, I'm going to appear to him first. I'm going to have a secret ascension. Right now, today, I'm going, don't touch me. I'm going to ascend to the Father. So go back and tell everyone that I ascend to my God. I'm going to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. And then you know what he referred to them as for the first time? He referred to them as brothers. Let's all say that. Brothers. Wow, isn't that amazing? Go tell my brothers. And not only that, if you remember, his form had changed. There's two disciples walking down the road, and they're disappointed, just like Daniel was. We thought, you know, he died, and we thought he was going to be our savior, our king. And well, he appears to them and listens to them and talks to them. And next thing you know, he goes in and and begins to eat with them. But when he prayed and when he broke the bread and he prayed, the two disciples that were going to Emmaus, what happened? All of a sudden, it's like, whoa. They realize it's him. It's him. The one that we thought was in the grave. He's alive. And then he just, whoa, where'd he go? He was not there, seemingly. You know, they were shocked. What did they do? They ran back to Jerusalem to let everybody know. So what's happening next? They're meeting together in Jerusalem, and the doors are locked. What happens? He just appears. It says that he just appeared right in the middle. Then what happens? They're just shocked. They're frightened. They thought, because it says, they told him, they thought he was a ghost. Actually, here it says a spirit, but when you go in the recovery version, it actually says in the footnote, a ghost. They thought he was a ghost. But then he says, a ghost, a spirit doesn't, you know, a disembodied spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me have. And then what does he say? Come, touch me and see. So now he says, touch me. So with Mary in the morning, don't touch me. He had to go to the Father. Then in the evening, he's there. And he says, touch me. Isn't that interesting? And then he did something very strange to me. I always appreciated this. He said, do you have anything to eat? He went into the grave and resurrected, became the life-giving spirit, a comforter. That humanity got brought into resurrection, but that humanity is still wanting to eat. And they gave him broiled fish. I wish I could just give you some fish to eat. Just, can you believe that he, and then it says, and he just ate before them. Why is that verse in the Bible? What is that important? And it says that he ate before them all. Then after that, he disappears. That's the life-giving spirit that's now in you. That's the wonderful person who's changed his form into the life-giving. Pablo, who is in you?
The life-giving spirit.
Hey, I hope you really appreciate that. He's not, oh yeah, we know that term. He's the life-giving spirit. I want us to enjoy that. I want to, we need to say, thank you, Lord. You are the life-giving spirit in me. It's you, Lord. The one who walked on the earth 2,000 years ago, Isaac, it's him that's in you. Do you believe it? I think we're most believers. Ben, do you believe it? Stand up and say, I believe it.
I believe it.
What do you believe? Tell me what you believe now. Amen. And who is this one that's inside of you? Who is he? Tell me something about him. Some aspects of him. Who is he? We already covered it. What is he? What did he say? I will send another what? Do you need a comforter? Sisters, I know you need a comforter. The brothers may not need it, but the sisters do. Amen. Me too. Anyway, I had 5 daughters. I know they need a comforter. And they still, many years later, they all need comforters. And they have him. They have the Lord indwelling them. So we all need the comforter. Amen. Okay, so I need to wrap this up. Isn't that amazing? The Lord, he changed his form so that he can get into us. This is his plan. Can you believe his plan, his economy? His economy, his plan was, I want to get into my creation. He came as one man 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ. He was that seed of life, and he didn't want them to make him king. He wanted to fall into the ground and die and produce all of us. And actually, it really goes along with the next point. The next point is that we are the product of resurrection.
Amen.
Through his death and resurrection, he produced the church.
Amen.
And that's, I just want to mention a couple of verses, and that is in John 20:17. It says, Jesus said to her, oh yeah, we already covered it, don't touch me, but I send to my Father and your Father. In other words, you're all going to be what? We're going to all be his brothers. And that's what he says. In Hebrews 2, it says, he's not ashamed to call them brothers. Okay. Sisters, look at the sisters next to you and say, brothers. It's not a shame to call them brothers. That's awkward, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, he's not ashamed to call us brothers. Turn to you and say, brother. Brothers. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. Isn't that amazing? And then I like this in in Romans 8:29, those whom he foreknew, he predestinated. He marked us out with a destiny to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So even it says there he was the firstborn. When was he born? Wasn't he born with Mary? No, he was the firstborn in resurrection. That's when he became the first among many brothers. So anyway, this is too wonderful. It's hard to explain it all. So what are the four big points here in resurrection, at least this last part? Right. Yeah. And so these are aspects of his resurrection. Glorification of Christ's divine life, designation of his humanity, transfigured into the life-giving spirit, and then what? Producing the church. And here we are as the beneficiary. We're all what can we say but hallelujah. We're what? We're brothers. We're brothers of the firstborn. Isn't that worth hallelujah? We have the same father, Curtis.
Amen.
I mean, don't we look alike, Curtis and I? Yeah. Anyway, we're brothers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's all. Amen. Hallelujah for resurrection.
Amen.
Let's all say praise the Lord for the Christ as our resurrection life.